This is Victrios.
All right, let's go into the Word of God tonight and see how God will lead us from here. I want to talk about what I call my hands are blessed. Can somebody help me re-echo it?
My hands are blessed.
Okay, if you can't say it for yourself, can you say my own hands? Point to me. Say my hands are blessed. Let's read some scripture. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, Deuteronomy 30, and let's read from verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 30 from verse 8. Okay. Is it possible to take out the light in the back so that we can see? Because there's so much light. Amen. All right. Okay. And you shall, if you use the King James Version or a milder version, the thou will be you. Okay, and you shall return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments which I command you this day. Verse 9. Then, and the Lord your God will make you plenteous in every work of your hand. I thought somebody would say amen.
Amen.
It says, the Lord your God will make you plenteous in every work of your hand. It says, in the fruit of your body. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
In the fruit of your cattle.
Amen.
In the fruit of your land.
Amen.
For good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you.
Amen.
For good. As he rejoiced over your fathers. Or in another way, God will do something that will make you and him to dance. Like he has done for other people.
Amen.
I thought somebody would say a big amen. Okay, let's move on. If you will hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law. Also, let's open to Ephesians chapter 5, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10. The Bible says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are his workmanship. We are his handiwork. Some other translation put it, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should work in them. God had preordained them that we should work in them. One of the things that you and I need to understand about God is that God is a God of purpose. God does not do anything for fun, so to say, or just waste his time and resources. God is very particular. God is very specific. God is very intentional. God usually knows what he wants to do at the end of a thing than when he starts it. In fact, the word destiny, we get it from destination because we understand from scripture that God is a God that talks about destination. And sometimes he says it way in advance before he goes to that destination. For example, very soon in the month of April, we'll be celebrating Easter. And Easter is the resurrection of Jesus. But before Jesus ever showed up, God had been saying, it that there is a seed that will come, and that seed was going to fix the sin problem. When man sinned in Genesis chapter 3, God started talking about the fact that I am going to correct this problem. I'm going to fix this situation. So God is a very purposeful God. God has agenda. God has reason. And the scripture we read in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says that one of the reason God created you, or why God created you and fashioned you and molded you and skilled you and uniquely gave you some things, it is that so that you will show forth his good works. God wants you to show forth his good works. God wants you to show forth works. God wants works to flow from you. Is it just me getting this hollow sound or feedback thing? If this is not working, I can change it. God wants you and I to reveal his handiwork. And I pray that in the name of Jesus, in this season, that will be your experience.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Now, when it comes to the handiwork that God has made you and the work that God wants you to, to show, you need to understand some things about work. You need to understand and see value in work. Many of the times, people have mistaken work for punishment. Many of the times, people have looked at working or doing something as being the fact that you are trying to get a daily living, something to eat and something not to eat. But if that is the case, then God will not be a worker. Because one of the things you and I need to understand about work as a word is that God works. God the Father works. God, in fact, in that scripture that we read, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says we are his handiwork. So human beings are work that God made. We are his product. God made us. In fact, the Bible tells us that God molded us like a sculptor. God fashioned us with his own hand. So working is a God thing. Can somebody say work is a God thing? In Psalm 8 and verse 3, Psalm 8 and verse 3, talking about God still here and showing God as a worker, the Bible says, when I consider the heavens, the work of your finger, the moon, the stars, which you have set in place. That means everything you see in this world, they are the work of God. They are the product of God. God is a masterpiece person. He makes masterpieces. And therefore, we as children are also called into that same realm to make masterpieces. So God is a worker. God works. So work is not anti-God. God is not anti-work. Work is not something that God is using to punish you. And that's why if there's anybody having any pressure at work, I'm praying that in this season, God will fix it for you. In the name of Jesus. So God is a worker. Then when Jesus himself even showed up, when Jesus, the Son of the Living God, showed up, the Bible makes us to understand that Jesus was also working. Jesus was very particular. Jesus was not idle. Jesus was working. In John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus speaking here, Jesus said, my meat, my food is to do the work. So my meat, my food is to do the work of him that sends me, and not just to do it, but to finish it. I am to start the work. I am to continue the work, and I am to finish it. So Jesus, when Jesus was here, was a worker. So you need to understand that work showed up before sin. Work, the ability to work or the reasons to work happened before sin. Because Genesis chapter 1, perfect world. Well, at least from verse 3, it was perfect because the chaos was fixed after God said, let there be light. So after, in Genesis chapter 1, the world, there was no sin. Genesis chapter 2, for the most part, there was no sin. And in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible said God put Adam there to do something. God put Adam in the garden to work. So work is not because Adam needed to eat. Work is not because Adam needed to make his end, make ends meet. There was no money at that time. There was no need for anything. Everything was provided. Adam was brought into a garden that was already ready. Everything was already provided. So you need to understand that in the agenda of God, work necessarily is not what meets your need. God is your need meter. Can somebody say amen to that? Because sometimes some people twist it. They think that, okay, my work is what will meet my need. And that's why sometimes some people cannot release their work, so to say, to God, because they think need is here, need is there. God is the one that meets our need. Our work is something he gives us to do something different, which is to release the gifting. Remember, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, we are God's handiwork. We were created. We were loaded with something to do good work. So there are some things that God has already put on in the inside of us, and he will put us within the framework of something that you can call work, which I'll probably define down the line, so that what he put on the inside, it will find expression. Because you see, when it comes to man, the fullness of what you carry will not happen until you put yourself in the right environment. If you don't put yourself within the right environment, there are some things that you have on the inside of you that will not flow. I remember this story of David when God told Samuel to go and anoint the next king. When Samuel got there, the Bible said God told him to fill his horn. And when he got to the house of Jesse, the Bible said he thought David's brothers were the new king. But for some reason, they were not the king. So the oil could not work, or the right environment was not there. So what he brought could not flow out. So until David showed up, the thing that Samuel brought for the next king could not find expression. Similarly, until you and I put ourselves within the framework or the environment which God wants you to put yourself, some of the things that you carry will not flow out. There are things, there are books that people carry. There are ideas that people carry. But if you don't subject it to the order of God, and one of the orders of God is to work. So in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, we read that God put man that he had created in the garden. God put him there to keep it and to till it. To keep the garden and to keep to till it. So from that scripture, we understand that work is meant to release our potentials. Work is meant to release our potential. And if you don't use what God has given you, very soon it will look like he didn't give you anything. In fact, sometimes very soon you become very rusty with it. And in some cases, it will appear that you have lost it. So I'm praying for somebody listening to me this morning, evening, that every potential that is on the inside of you will find expression in the name of Jesus. Amen. I thought I would get a better amen. Amen. So God created us as his handiwork to do good work. Let me try and define work for a little bit. Work can be referred to a term of God's activity or to people's regular occupation or employment. That's a dictionary definition. This is a definition that that God inspired me and I wrote down. Work is your contribution to maintaining or sustaining the creation of God. Work is your own contribution to maintaining or sustaining the creation of God. Remember in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, God said, scripture says, God put Adam in the garden so that Adam will work, so that Adam will also contribute to the creation process. Because you see, when God created from Genesis chapter 1, those 6 days that he used for creation, God did not necessarily finish creation like that. He started creation, but he wanted that man that he had created to continue creation. Because remember, when he was blessing them in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, he says, be fruitful and multiply. So the multiply was a responsibility that God gave that man. The multiplying was a responsibility that God gave. Because God created two people. God physically created two people. Now that man, by his work, will now not only populate the earth with people, but also populate the earth with the prototype of that garden, will carry the Garden of Eden everywhere. So I believe work is my contribution. Work is your contribution to maintaining the creation of God. Now, so that contribution may find expression in what some people call secular world. That contribution may also find expression in what you call sacred wall or ministry, like some people call it. But it is the same thing. Whether you are here and your work is to say hello to somebody that is coming in, or your work is to speak later on when everybody sits down like me, everything we are doing here, or what you are doing on Monday to Friday or Saturday, everything, you are contributing your own quota to the creation process. To make sure that what God has done, the creation God has started, it will keep flourishing. It will keep moving. So work is not necessarily only when you get paid. Or how was Adam paid? Hello? How was Adam paid? Who was paying Adam? Because once people, when you hear work, some people immediately they are thinking of dollars and cents. They are thinking of, how do I get paid? But nobody was paying Adam. Oh, somebody may argue and say, well, I mean, Adam was taking care of the animals, and then the animals were increasing, so that means he was getting paid. How? By who? He's the only one. Then later his wife showed up. Then who else? That's it. So there was nobody to be getting paid. Okay, well, the things was paying him off and stuff like that. But you see, work does not necessarily have to involve money, but work essentially is contribution. And I want you to say loud and clear, say in the name of Jesus, I will make my contributions in Jesus' name. So what happens when over time, what you have learned or are learning, you exchange it with others? That's also another definition of work. Work happens when what you are learning or what you have learned, you exchange it with others. There are sometimes where you are right now, you think everybody has been there. No. Work is, for example, if you have a blog and you are just sharing your experience as a new mother or as a single, you know, something that that's work, because you are using lessons that you have learned over time. You are exchanging it. You are giving it to others. When you are doing that, you are performing what we can call work. That is something you should focus on. That is something you should do and understand that you are working. You are contributing to creation by doing that. And I want to make this distinction that work is not necessarily a job. Can somebody say amen to that? Because, for example, you can, I'm here now. This is not a job, what I'm doing now. The people that sang and the people that have drummed and all of that, it's not a job. It's work. Now, there are sometimes your job can be your work. Somebody had defined job before as just over broke, you know. But I won't call your job just over broke. But there are sometimes your job can be your work if you allow it. If you understand that job is your way of making contribution or meaningful things into the lives of people. I want you where you are seated. I want you to speak to God and say loud and clear, say in the name of Jesus, my contribution in my generation will not be missing. You can say it louder. Say, my contribution in my generation will not be missing. Will you tell God that this evening, my contribution in my generation will not be missing. My place will not be void. Wherever God has positioned me, wherever God has placed me, it will not be void. In the name of Jesus, my contribution will be seen. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Amen. Going back again to that Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 that we started with, the Bible says we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So we are God's tool. We are God's weapon that God can use. And that's why there is no job, there is no work that is blessed. There are only blessed people and doing things. So if you are blessed, if your hand is blessed, if you go with the consciousness that my hand is blessed, anything you encounter can experience the blessing of God. I like how the brothers of and the family of Laban, Jacob's in-laws, when they saw Jacob's life, they came up with this statement. They said, we have learned by experience, Genesis 21, 22. We have learned by experience that the hand of God is upon you, and whatever you do gets blessed. I have met people before that will tell you, this is the job that is working now, or this is the career that is moving now. This is the thing that is working now. But you see, what works is not a particular career. People are carriers of blessing. If you are blessed, whatever you touch will prosper. I have seen people, I used to know a man several years ago. This man started a water company. And at the time he started the water company, most people in that locality that he lives, they don't do that kind of stuff. It didn't make sense. It was just... And this guy from that small water company, I don't know where he got the idea from, he just went wild. I mean, because where he had the company was where he was living, and in those days we used to walk past that place when we're going to the store or wherever we're going to. We would, and you will see that every time you go past this guy's house, which later became his factory, there was an expansion from just a simple water idea. So there is not, it is not what you do, it is who you are that matters. So if your hands are blessed, if you like, be selling air. I hope they will not start selling air soon. I'm packaging it in bottles. But be selling the most common thing, because your hands are blessed, it will do well. And I'm speaking concerning somebody tonight, your hands are blessed. Amen. Anything you touch will prosper. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So, God is a God that prioritizes work. God is a God that takes work seriously. And God wants to help you in any work you find yourself. Whether the work is circular or the work is spiritual, whether the work is in the context of church or something that you can say you are necessarily doing to God. Understand that every kind of work you find yourself in, God wants it to do well. That's why I declare over you again, your hands are blessed.
Amen.
I thought somebody would say a bigger amen.
Amen.
Now, the scripture we first read, Deuteronomy chapter 30, said that God will do some things. And he also now said that you will also do some things. If you understand the equation of prophecies, if you understand the equation of anything God says, many of it has to not only do with God, but it also concerns man. And man has a response. Man has a reaction to what God has said. There'll be a God part to it, and there will also be a man part to it. There'll be some things that God will have to do. There will be other things that you will have to do. So where work is concerned, what are the things you and I have to do? There are some things we have to do. Look at this scripture, Proverbs chapter 6 and from verse 6. What do I have to do concerning my work? Whether that work is in church or in the context of I'm not being paid for it. Because there are some things that God will have some of us work on. It is as if we are doing free services. God may want you to do some work. Maybe you are doing something on social media and teaching people how to read. Just random one. Teaching people how to read. And because it looks like you are not being paid, you don't understand that it's your work. So how does God want you to respond to your work? How does God want you to react to the work that he has placed in your hand? Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6. Proverbs 6 and verse 6. God said, scripture says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. Go to the ants, you lazy person. That's the other word for sluggard. Or you idle person. Consider the ways the ants work and then receive wisdom. How do the ants work? The ants know that there is times and season. So when they are in the season for them to gather, they will not be playing. They are very disciplined and they are not idle. So what should be your attitude? What should be my attitude to work? Number one, don't be idle. Do not be idle. Be productive. It says go to the ants. In that Proverbs chapter 6, if you read down, it says the ants don't have a leader. But they are able to organize themselves. They are able to produce. They are productive. And so your attitude, my attitude to any work that God gives us, whether in the secular or not in the secular, is that I have to be productive here. God wants me to be productive. My hands are blessed, so I know I have to have results. I have to be productive. I don't just have to show up. I don't just have to add to the number. I don't just have to say, well, I don't like what they are making me to do. I will just do it anyhow I want to do it. Can I tell you this? Every work you do is a signature on you. I have said this before, that people don't work for any boss, and I will say it again. You don't work for any boss. You don't work for any pastor. Yes, sometimes some people are like your boss or pastor or whatever, But you don't work for them. Because if you worked for them, why is it that whatever you do, you can't really leave it? Oh, some people say, I handed over to so-and-so. Did you really hand over? You handed over instructions. You didn't hand over the work because it's still with you. There are many things that some of us have done in time past that if they still put you there, I've sat in front of computers before and I just did my hand like this. And I could, it's almost as if my hand could remember this stuff. Because I've left the environment where I started doing the work. Because the work, I still have it in me. So every time you have opportunity to do any work whatsoever, understand that you're working for yourself. And understand that God wants your attitude to be that I will be productive here. I will have results. I will not be idle. I will not just while away time. I will not just be there. Just occupy space and then just use the time to do anything that I want to do. Use the time for for things that are not relating to that work. So, what does God want your attitude and my attitude to be to work? Number one, He doesn't want us to be idle. And idle also means that there is no time, even if you don't have quote and unquote set work, that you cannot be productive. The hands, nobody employs them. Because that's another thing that people will now go into and say, Pastor, you understand? I understand this whole work thing that you're talking about. Yes, and I'm doing some things in church. But after church, I don't have any other thing I'm doing. You can be productive even in the seasons when you don't have to report to a boss. Because the hands don't report to a boss, but they have still found a way to be productive. For example, maybe you are in a season, you are in transition, you're looking for another job or another work, and you don't necessarily have to go somewhere on a Monday morning. You can tell yourself, I want to learn so and so thing. And then by Monday morning, you are also sitting in front of something, a computer or a library. Walk into a library. They won't hold you there. And there are books almost on anything. And you can be like the ant and be productive. So our first attitude to work is that we must be productive. We should not be idle. We should not be idle. Another attitude you need to understand about work, or you need to have on work, is that work is worship. When you recognize that anything you do, ultimately you are doing it for God. Anything. Work becomes worship. Work, because when people talk about the word worship, let's stand up, it's time for praise and worship. You know, sometimes you don't even understand what the word worship means. Worship necessarily is not singing. Worship, in fact, in the New Testament, the first time we heard the word worship, they were not even singing. In John chapter 4, Jesus met a woman. This woman had had a rough life. And then Jesus was having a conversation with the woman. And then the woman goes into some theological jargons like some of us like to do and starts bringing big words in the scripture or words from the Bible, you know, eschatology and everything that has GG at the end of it, just to show how much of the Bible you know. And so the woman was like, oh, okay, you don't know about this well, our father, Jacob, da, 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 da. And Jesus said, you don't know what you are talking about worship. Because worship is just a recognition. Worship is when you have a mindset that God is a spirit, and spirit does not have location. Because the lady was arguing about location, this mountain, that mountain, you come to church, it's when you come to church that you worship, you know, this is the house of God. So Jesus was saying, look, God is a spirit, and God, by definition of being a spirit, is everywhere, and anybody that must relate to him must relate to him that he is a spirit and is a rewarder of them that seek him. So God is a spirit. God is a spirit. That means that when I go to work, spirit is still there. It's not because I'm not in church. It's not because where this work, the people that are working with me, they don't know the God that I serve. Then that means because of that, this one is out of bounds for God. No. Work is worship whenever you and I recognize that anything we do for God. Anything we do. Look at the scripture. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Colossians 3 and 17, the Bible says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. Let's move on to verse 23 and verse 24. Verse 23 and 24, Colossians 3. He says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. If you are working in the church, work at it with all your heart. If you are working not in the church, work at it with all your heart. Because you are doing it for the Lord, not for the humans that are leaders or masters over you or bosses over you. Every work you have opportunity to do as a child of God, if you recognize that God is a spirit, it's your opportunity to worship God. So on Monday morning, I am going to a worship service. Tuesday is a worship service. Every day is a worship service. Wherever I show up is a worship service, because my work can be worship. My work can be something that I do for God, can be something that God can take pleasure in it. Look at it. Joseph. Joseph was, first of all, a fugitive. Then later he became a housemaid, a houseboy. And the Bible said, as a houseboy, several people, when they find themselves in that kind of position, they will give all the excuse in the book. They will say, can you imagine me? Me that I have clothes of many colors, you know? The clothes that I have, that everybody that comes to our city, when they see my clothes, they take note of me. Now I'm in this house, I'm a servant, I don't even have my own clothes. You know, we all share clothes, all the servants in this house. So he's complaining. I will show them in this house that I'm not a servant. My father is very rich in the country that he is. And then they start forming and all of that kind of thing. They will not do what they are supposed to do. The Bible said Joseph put his heart into the work so much that after a while, his master gave him everything. His master handed over everything. He became a chief slave or a chief houseboy because he put his heart into it. I've had the story before of somebody who was practicing for a particular competition, and it was this what's this one, this jump that people normally do, that they use the pole, and then they I didn't get that. Pole vault. Well, it didn't, it's not that technical. I think it's something, but maybe that's it. Let's go with pole vault. So the coach was telling the guy that, you see what, when you get to the bar, throw your heart to the other side, your body will follow you. When you take the pole and you get to the bar, just throw your heart to the other side, your body will catch up with you. Ladies and gentlemen, the moral of our story is this. When you put your heart into something, every other thing will come into it. When you understand that the work that God has given you in church, I've seen people in church before. Are you paying me? But if you understand that you are doing it for God, you put in all your heart into it. I mean, and this is even church that is supposed to be for God. What about your boss? You put in all your heart. Whether the guy is there, whether the guy is watching, whether the guy is not watching, if you understand that every work is for God, every work is for God. Because remember Ephesians 2:10 that we started with. God created us as his handiwork so that we can do good works. So every time you find yourself doing work, it's for him, because that's why he created you. So when you show up in the at office on Monday or whenever day you show up, understand that this is for God. I must make God look good with this. I won't wait till promotion or evaluation or performance review. I won't wait till that. I will understand that my work is my worship, and I will give it my best. I want somebody to say loud and clear, say, in the name of Jesus, I repent from treating work as something I do for people. From today, I will treat it as something I do for God. So our attitude should be that we should not be idle. Our attitude should be that we should consider work as worship. worship. Take it like this is God. God is my real boss. This guy is just he's just showing, he's not really the boss. God is my boss. God is my boss. So I'll put in my work into this. And I'm not belittling the fact that there are interesting bosses, interesting work scenarios, but even in those not so pleasant scenarios, just like in the case of Joseph, where he was a slave, he was being used. He was not going to be paid. Slaves don't get paid. They are property. They've been bought. Even then, he was still putting in his best. So we can still put in our best. And I'm praying for you that God will help you at that difficult job in Jesus' name. So what should our attitude be to work? It should be that we should be productive. We should treat it as if we're working for God. We should be givers. We should be givers. And this, I'm not saying here now you should give money, but you should be contributors. You should be someone that brings something onto the table. You should be givers and not just a dump or a drain or someone that takes away from the energy of the team or the resources of the team. Not like I always say, a pipe C. And I don't have enough time to explain what a pipe C is. But don't be a drain. Look at this scripture, Acts chapter 20 and verse 33. Scriptures saying here, and this is Paul talking to the people and saying, I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. Then just keep on going. We're going to 35. You yourself know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. He says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That means my attitude to work is that I want to give. I want to be a blessing to this organization. I want to do more than they are paying me. I want to do more than they deserve. Because the attitude of a giver is that I am giving you what you don't even deserve. I am giving you more than you requested. I am giving you more than it's supposed to be. I will give you. And that's what Paul was saying here. He said that our attitude as children of God is to understand that there is blessing. When we are talking about my hands are blessed, there is blessing in the fact that if you have the attitude to give, there is blessing in it, even without praying. Because sometimes when people hear, my hands are blessed, the next thing, Pastor E, let us pray, lay hands on me, pour oil on me. But God is saying in the scripture that it's not only laying on of hands, it's not only pouring out of oil. There are ways that you can respond to work that will automatically make your hands to be blessed. The word of God says, knowing that givers are blessed, there is blessing in giving. So in your organization, give. Give your time. Give them more than they deserve. They deserve 5 p.m. You sometimes see that there's something to be done. Give them 30 more minutes. Give them 45 more minutes. They deserve that. You are supposed to come there at 8 o'clock. But you know that if you get there at 8 o'clock, that particular day, you won't get some things done. You give them extra. You give them some time at home, too. I'm not saying you should steal time from your family, but sometimes, you know, if you need to do something, you do what you need to do. Also for church. Or for non-for-profit organization, or things that you are not paid for. Give. Give. Because it is more blessed to give than to receive. There's a mentor of mine, and I had this from him when he was very, when I was a young boy. In fact, I didn't have kids then. He said that he had always wanted his children not to be on scholarship. Somebody be like, what does that mean? He said, he has always wanted that I will be able to pay for their school fees. And the scholarship that they should get, they should give it to other children. I like that attitude. I know some people who, and don't get me wrong, I believe in scholarships. And I want my children to qualify for scholarship, but they do not need it because God has blessed their father. Amen to Jesus. So I'm not belittling scholarship or saying, but I'm saying that That just changed my paradigm, my perspective, because I'd always been, scholarship, just be racing for all the free things you can get, all the things you can get. But it's like, look, I am looking for how not just to be somebody that is available, but a major contributor. You understand? I don't want to live on the system. I want to be blessing the system. If you have that attitude, ladies and gentlemen, the word of God says, you are blessed. You are blessed. And I declare over you that in this season you are blessed. In the name of Jesus. So, what should our attitude be to our work? Our attitude should be that we should not be idle. We should be productive. Our attitude should be that we should treat work as worship. Our attitude should be that we should be givers with our work. And not just receiver. Don't just wait for the paycheck. Don't just wait. If they don't give me anything there, then I won't give them anything. No, give them more than they deserve. God knows how to pay you. God is a rewarder. And another thing you and I need to do, and I'll try to wrap up with these, is to be diligent. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29. Proverbs 22, 29. The Bible says, have you seen any man who is diligent in his business? Have you seen any man who is skilled in their work? They will serve before kings. They will not serve before officials of low rank. Have you seen any man? Have you seen any man who takes every job, every work as a masterpiece? I have met some people before that did one or two things for me. And the experience I got, I wanted to do more. The experience I got, I gave them more than they needed because they did the work, they put in extra, they did more than I wanted, they were diligent with the work. And I've met some other people, they will just do the barest minimum, and I tell myself, I'm not going back there. I'm not using that person again. If that's the only person, I'll do it myself. No. I don't like that experience. They are not diligent about this thing. So the Bible is saying your attitude, my attitude to the work that God has called you and I to is to be diligent. What does to be diligent mean? It means you will be punctual. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. I've heard many times. People say, it's because, you know, you've had this word before, CPT. Have you heard that before? Where are you guys? Have you heard CPT before? Colored? Huh? You heard that? I've heard that before too. And it always pains me that it looks like it is true. There's something sometimes about colored people. Sometimes you have an appointment for 10 o'clock. Every other non-colored people will be there by 10 minutes to 10. Then a colored guy will come in and say, excuse me, there's so much traffic. There's always traffic. the excuse that you have just given now is always happening. Especially in the days of GPS now. If you're supposed to go to somewhere, you can know what the traffic will look like at 8 a.m. tomorrow. If you use Waze, you can tell Waze to tell you when to leave your house. Not that you'll now be pulling it to the edge. To be diligent means to be punctual. If you have a business and you tell the business person, I will deliver so and so day. If you want the blessing that God is putting on your hands to find expression, you have to deliver even before the time you had said you would deliver. Not deliver after you have said you will deliver. You have to be punctual. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 that we've read already about the ant, the Bible says, look at them. They don't have anybody that is ruling them, but they are punctual. They understand the season. Once it is a season when they should gather, they are not going to be waiting for one alarm or somebody to push them. They are very punctual because they know that if they don't do what they need to do now, by the time another season changes, they'll be out of food. So to be diligent means to be punctual. To be diligent means to be thorough. To be diligent means to be thorough. We've read also in John chapter 4 and verse 34, where the Bible says concerning Jesus, Jesus said, my food and meat is to do the work of he that sent me, but not just to do it, but to finish it. I'm praying for anointing to complete, to finish, to come upon you in the name of Jesus. There are so many of us, we are good starters. We know how to begin things. We know how to start things, but we don't have that tenacity to follow through. I am believing that tonight, by the time we take the communion, that there is an anointing coming on you to follow through in the name of Jesus. To be diligent is punctual. To be diligent is to be thorough. To be diligent is to be excellent. Have a knack for excellence. Review your work. Even if it is in church, how am I doing? Even if they are not paying you for it, can I get better? Have a permanent dissatisfaction with mediocrity. I'm just staying where I am now. Just being the king among riffraff, so to say. Some people are always celebrating their work. They are not looking for room for improvement. There is nothing you are doing today that you cannot do better tomorrow. Because the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, it says the path of the righteous is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter to a perfect day. That means whatever you are doing today, if you see tomorrow, if Jesus has not come tomorrow, you can do it better. Because your path should shine brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. So to be diligent means to be punctual, to be thorough, to be excellent, to be skillful. Anything you are doing, any work that God has placed into your hands, you want to be skillful about it. If you are singing, be skillful about it. Learn how to sing. I remember some time ago, I was trying to take a course. I probably said the story here about speaking and communication. And somebody was asking me, he said, why do you need this? You're already doing it. I said, it is the people that are doing it that need to learn it better. There are many professions in the world that you always take refresher courses. You have to, if you're a pilot, if you have a pilot license or flying license, you have to take refresher courses on the aircraft and on aviation judge generally, because you get rusty, because you are outdated. So you have to be skillful. There is nothing you are doing today that you can't get better at. And I like that we're in the 21st century. There's nothing that you and I are doing that there's no podcast for. Somebody said, there's an app for that. There's also an app for that. There's nothing you're doing. You can learn to be a better communicator. This morning, I receive like 50 messages on communication in a week. You know, and I'll just scan through the email. What are some of the best things that you can do here and there? And all kinds of areas of life that you can learn better and better and better, so that you will be the fullness of what God has called you to be. So to be diligent is to be punctual, to be thorough, to be excellent, to be skillful, and finally, to be a learner. To be a learner. Always learning. Always willing to improve. Always willing to know more. Always being dissatisfied with where you are now and saying, there is more and I want to learn more. My prayer for you in this season is that your hands will experience and will show forth the blessings of God. I thought somebody would say better, amen. I want us to stand on our feet this morning.